Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
I always like this lectern because we normally use it at evening service. So it always gets me a bit excited, so please forgive me if I get too overly excited. But it's always a privilege and an honor to share God's word with you, to worship with you, and to witness an amazing baptism with you. Today, as we gather on Easter Sunday, it's a day centered around one truth. Jesus is risen. Amen. So if you turn with me to John 11 in the Bible, John chapter 11, verses 25 to 26. This is a little bit taken from an interaction with Jesus and Mary. Lazarus, whom he loved, and they all loved, had passed away. And Jesus made this claim in these words. It says, "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die." I'll stop there, because this isn't just a statement that he made. It's an invitation. It's an invitation into a new life, a new identity, and even eternity. So today I won't take up too much of your time, but we'll just look at a few things. We'll understand what it means for us that Jesus is risen. And then how do we respond to that? To that new life that he offers. But before we go into it, let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you so much that you are alive. You are alive, you're alive, you're risen. Lord, help us to see clearly today, to see more of you, understand more of you, and understand what it means for us in our lives, in this day and age, what it is to serve a risen Savior. Allow us to open up our hearts to respond. In Jesus' name, amen. So understanding the risen Jesus, we have to understand that he is not dead, he is alive. And earlier Philip just read from an account from Luke's Gospel. So let's just go back to that first Easter morning. Early one morning, some women went to visit Jesus' tomb. They were sad, they were upset because Jesus had died. And they wanted to take care of his body. But when they got there, to their amazement, this big stone in front of his tomb had been moved. And they walked inside and he was not there. Now, what do you normally say in that scenario? What do you normally do? They ask the obvious question, where is he? And thank God the answer presented itself with two bright angels that appeared in front of them, and they said, "Why are you looking for someone who is alive in a place for the dead? Jesus isn't here, he has risen." And they reminded them of the words that he said, and he told them that this would happen, and this is now true, and he is alive again. So why do you look for the living among the dead? That can be true for us sometimes, don't we? We look often for life in places that can't give us life. We look for it in success sometimes, where we say, if I just achieve more, I'll feel fulfilled. But then we reach it and then we still feel empty. How about looking for life in money? If I just had a little bit more, I would feel secure. But it brings comfort, but not peace. What about looking for life in relationships? If I just had the right person, I'd feel complete. But even the best relationships can't carry that weight. Don't get me wrong, none of these things are bad. But they were never meant to be your source of life. Because real life isn't found in what you have. It's It's found in who you know. And Jesus is that source of life. Now and into eternity. So Jesus said those words, I am the resurrection and the life. Not that I will show you life or I will point you to life, but I am life. That means that life is not something we find in things, but it's something we find in Him. The world tells us that life is about what we achieve, about what we have, or what people think about us. But Jesus shows us that real life is found in who we know. And not just knowing about Him, but knowing Him personally. Because you can know about someone, you can know their name, you can know their story, you can know what they've said. But that's not the same as knowing them. And Jesus is inviting us into that relationship, not just information. And when you know Him, you're not just given a better life, you're given a new life. A life where your past is forgiven, your present has purpose, and your future is secure. And this life that you're given, this new life, it's not temporary, it's eternal. It doesn't end when life gets hard, and it doesn't end when things fall apart. And it doesn't even end when we die. It's eternal. Because Jesus says, whoever believes in me will live, even though they die. So the life He offers isn't just about today, it's about forever. Remember, real life isn't found in what you have. It's found in who you know, and that name is Jesus. And because of Easter, because of what happened on that Easter morning, your past doesn't define you and your mistakes doesn't have the final say. We all have things that we regret, moments where we've fallen short, but the cross tells us that we are forgiven. And the empty tomb shows us that we can start again. In the Bible, there was an incident where Peter, one of Jesus' closest disciples, denied Jesus. 3 times. But yet after Jesus came to life, Jesus didn't reject him. He restored him and gave him purpose. That's the heart of Easter. Jesus restores, not rejects. So no matter what your story is, I'm sure we all have our stories, you're not too far gone. You're not beyond grace. You're not disqualified. Your past may explain you, but it doesn't define you, because Jesus has the final say. Now, what do we do in response to this new life that He's offered to us? This grace, and upon discovering that my past doesn't define me, but He does. How do we reach out? How do we respond to it? Now, one way that we saw was earlier, when we witnessed Harriet and Yvonne's baptism, and it was a beautiful moment. It was meaningful, powerful, and symbolic. That's why we all gathered here as well, to celebrate that and to support them. But is it not? But as Philip said earlier, it's important to understand what it is and what it isn't. The baptism is not a source of new life. Jesus is. The water doesn't change you. And the act itself doesn't save you. Jesus is the one who gives new life. But what the baptism does is shows on the outside what has already happened on the inside. It's a visible moment that points to that invisible reality. It's Harriet and Yvonne saying, I've decided to follow Jesus. My old life is behind me and my new life is with Him. And I was looking for an illustration to best describe it. And it's like, it says, think of it like a passport. A passport doesn't make you a citizen. It just declares where you belong. It tells the world, this is my identity. This is what I'm from. This is where I'm from. And baptism is like that. It's something that we outwardly declare to say, I belong to Jesus now and my life is with him. And maybe you've come here to support Harriet and Yvonne being baptized, and that is so amazing, and it's so important that they have that support. But I wanted to let you know what you've seen is a picture of something deeper, because behind that moment is a life that has been changed by Jesus. And the invitation to Easter is the same. It's this. That same new life is available to each and every one of us. And baptism shows that Jesus. Baptism shows us what we do, but Jesus is the one that does the changing. I just want to take a moment to speak to Harriet and Yvonne and give you some form of encouragement as to what the life that you signed up for. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 18 to 20 saying, for through him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as a chief cornerstone. You are no longer strangers, but members of God's household. That means you're no longer outside, no longer trying to figure out life on your own. You belong. And that's something all of us are looking for. We all want to be, to feel accepted, known, and like we have a place. And in Jesus, we have that place. And Philip said it earlier, not because you've earned it, or you've gotten everything right, but it's all because of him. You're welcomed in, brought close, and made part of a family. We will say your immediate family in Granville Street, and the bigger family of the Church of God. A family where you are supported and encouraged, not left alone when life gets hard. Because following Jesus isn't just about believing in something. It's about belonging somewhere. And in him, you don't just find life. You find where you belong. And also, I wanted to encourage you. Galatians 6:2, just a short part that says, carry each other's burdens. That means when life gets heavy, you don't have to carry on your own. We all go through moments where things feel overwhelming, whether it's pressure, worry, or things we're dealing with quietly that no one else sees. But this new life in Jesus means you're not left to figure it out by yourself. You can reach out to your brothers and sisters. You have people around you. You have family who can support you, stand by you, help you to carry what feels so heavy, but not alone. And it's very important because this new life is real. It's not always easy. And many of us can say that. It's not always easy. There will still be challenges, and there will still be moments where it feels hard. But the difference now is this. You don't walk through these moments alone. And as you said earlier, keep holding on to Jesus. Don't let go. Because he will walk through them with you. And with the people around you. In the Bible, also it says, 1 Corinthians 1:31. Sorry. Let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord. And Galatians 2:20 said, it is I who no longer live, but Christ who lives in me. This reminds us that this life is not about us trying to prove ourselves or having everything together. It's about saying, look at what I've done. It's not about saying, look at what I've done or look at how good I've become. It's all about pointing to Jesus and saying, look of what he has done in me. And I'm happy to say that following Jesus isn't about becoming perfect. It's about becoming transformed. It's about recognizing that we don't have to do and carry all this weight on our own. And that ability and that strength comes from him. And it comes from him living in us, alive and reigning in our lives. So as we come to reflect about this, and this is where it becomes personal. For those who are exploring, maybe unsure where you stand, ask yourself honestly, what am I really placing my hope in? Where am I looking for life? And what if this is real? What if Jesus really is who he says he is, and the life you've been searching for is found in him? And for those who believe, this moment to reflect as well. Am I living like Jesus is alive? Does my life reflect that truth? Because it's easy to believe something, but it's different to live it out daily. Maybe today is a moment to realign, to come back to that truth. It's not just me about me living anymore. It's about Christ living in me. I'm going to close in prayer. Lord, thank you so much that you are alive. And Lord, I ask that you draw us closer to you. In Jesus' name. Amen.